Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
But we are also jumping into a brand new series, obviously, entitled Family Matters. And we're jumping into this series because, well, because family matters, right? Family is an important part of our life. I think family plays an important part in all of our lives. And there's some things that happen within families that often cause some stress as well. Because within families, there's some struggles. Within families, there's some issues. Within families, there's some things that we need to work on, right? There's some family matters. So really what we're going to talk about through this series is how we can deal with family matters because family matters. Right? If you think about it, the relationships that we come in contact with every single day in our family, they can be tough, right? Sibling relationships can be a little rough. Parent relationships can be a little tough. Cousin relationships, grandparent relationships, right? They're all sometimes, there's struggles in those relationships. And here's why. Really, that's the place where Satan wants to attack the most. So we need to deal with those family matters. The truth is, though, I think a lot of times in life what we do is we just go pretend that things are okay, right? We pretend that our relationships are fine. We pretend that there's no issues in our marriages. We pretend there's no really issues with our families or with our kids, and we just keep on going. But the truth is, the reality of it is, there's a little dysfunction that we all need to work through and deal with. And what we're going to do through this month, through these next 4 weeks, is we're really going to jump in and address these issues. And our goal is to challenge you to face them, but not only face them, but to even grow in these issues. And this can only happen when we stop pretending. This can only happen when we get honest with ourselves and when we get honest with our family members about those issues, right? We really address them and make sure that we are going to change in this. This really happens when we realize and get to the point that family matters. So let's be honest to start off here. Obviously, there's never a dull moment in families, but how many would you say live a family life where there's never a dull moment, right? You've got that crazy uncle, you've got that grandparent that's a little off their rocker, you've got that family and your kids, or maybe they're your kids that are just off the hook and they're going wild all the time, right? As we go into summer, some of you guys may do these things called family reunions, and they're a little bit crazy, they get a little intense, so because you have that one family member. And I will say this, I've said this before, but if you don't have that one family member, the chances are you probably are that one family member, right? So we have different things in our families. We have different struggles in our family. We have some issues in our families, right? And we each have some type of challenge that we're facing. Now, for me, you see a picture of our kids. So really, what we're going to do is we're going to go through this series, and you're going to just learn how dysfunctional my family can be. And what we learned is that this time of year is kind of crazy in families, especially for us. So what we started out, well, our kids are both, my son is actually 6, and my son's actually 5. See, we're already going out there. My son's 5, and my daughter's 6. So this is the first year where they both had school. So my son's actually, he graduated from preschool. Let's use that term lightly, come on, because they're all going to move past, right? Let's be honest. So he graduated from preschool, and then my daughter actually got out of kindergarten. And this is what I didn't expect in family life. So this is kind of new to us. They're both getting out of school. I did not expect them to completely forget how to function as normal human beings, right? I don't know if anybody else has experienced this or just the Huffman household. I did check. They both still do have ears on, but apparently they lost the ability to listen. Like once the last week of school, once school's out, they completely forget to listen or don't know how to. I think that just left them. That's a new thing for us. It's a new struggle for us. And then all of a sudden, they love to fight every single waking moment. I don't know what that is or if summertime just brings that, but I'm just telling you, this is like a new issue in our home. And the truth is, family life is tough. And I think each stage of family life can be tough. Each stage can be challenging. And to be honest, it can be overwhelming. Which really leads us to the question, what does a healthy family look like? What's the goal of parenting? What's the goal of married life, right? If you're married, do you even have goals, right? If you're not married, if you're a single person, Are you looking for the future? Or are you putting goals in place of what it would look like to be married? What it would look like to have a family of your own? Right? What does that look like? What does it take to have a strong, resilient family? What does it take to have a strong, resilient marriage? Right? What does it take to raise healthy, loving, responsible kids? And really, the goal of this series is to address those questions. And what we're going to do is we're going to dig in and we're going to look at portions in the Bible of a guy named David to help us. Now, I'm going to just give a little bit of a disclaimer here. You've probably heard from David before, and now he's slayed tens of thousands, right? How he's an amazing king, how he beat Goliath, and you've heard all these things. Well, let me just tell you, David was not perfect. And this is what I love about the Bible. We look at the Bible, and I think sometimes we get a little overwhelmed, and we think, okay, everybody in the Bible is perfect. I can never, match up to their standards. But the truth is, there has only ever been one perfect person, right? Jesus was the only perfect person. And God sent him for each and every one of us. God looked down, and if you look through the Bible, you see that God looked, and he said, man, my people are messed up, right? They need help. And the chances are the people in the future are going to need help as well. So he gave Jesus to each and every one of us to live a perfect life, die on a cross to pay the penalty that we each deserve. But it didn't leave him dead. He was resurrected to give us new life so that we could have a relationship with him, so that we could continue on. And that's what I love about the Bible. I love about how the Bible shows us these people who had flaws. And really, I think we can relate to these flaws. So what we're going to do is we're not going to look at David and how he is a perfect person. We're not going to look at David and how he's a perfect family guy through this series. We're actually going to look at his flaws because I think we can relate to him. So we're going to look at his flaws. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump in and we're going to start at 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 6. So if you have your Bibles, go there with me. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 6. And if you don't have a Bible, we always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. It's an incredible resource to take with you wherever you go. And again, we want you reading your Bibles every single day. If you are just relying on Sunday mornings to feed you, you're going to go hungry, right? So open your Bibles every single day. And the Bible app is an incredible way to do this. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 6. And we're going to look at this guy named Adonijah, who is David's son. But let's just do a quick background on this verse first. So in this verse, David is basically on his deathbed. So he's led for years. He's been a king for years. And now he's to the place where he's dying. He's on his deathbed. He can't even keep his body warm. So obviously, he's not doing his regular routine of work. And what happens is, leading up to this verse, you see this guy named Adonijah, who's actually David's son. You see him kind of wedge his way in, deceivingly, to take over the throne and become king. Now, let's just say this isn't how this was supposed to happen. This is not how a king is placed. This actually happened because of who Adonijah was. Adonijah was kind of a messed up guy. But you see him do this, and you see him kind of just deceive his way to king. And really, what should have happened to David or to Adonijah? Adonijah should have been put to death right there. But you see that David sometimes brushes things under the rug. And this is where Adonijah really got to this point, because David brushed things under the rug. Adonijah was really one of those types of guys who really thought rules didn't apply to him. He's the type of guy that makes his own rules, makes his own laws. He's basically just a snob, right? He's a recluse. He's spoiled, and he's kind of a brat. And you see why here in verse 6, which is just a very short glimpse of why. It says this here in verse 6. It says, his father, and this is David, his father had never rebuked him by asking, why do you behave as you do? He was also very handsome and was born next after Absalom. So this is just a tiny, tiny flashback into how David raised his kids. But you see this guy named Adonijah, who's a good-looking guy, right? He's got a lot of good characteristics. But what he did is he took that to himself and said, you know what, because I'm a good-looking guy, because I'm the king's son, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. And it goes back to really this verse of how David raised him. This verse is really a flashback to when David was in his 30s, when he was a young father, when he was a young king, and he's really leading over Judah, and he's actually establishing this kingdom while establishing a family at the same time. And as many of his sons were born during this time, but what you see is that his sons were raised without very much parental care. The truth is, David's kids experienced neglect. Another translation actually says it this way. It says that David never interfered in his life. He didn't play a part. And listen, as parents, I want you to understand that we need to interfere in our kids' lives. Right? As children, we want our parents to interfere in our lives at times. Like, that's a good thing, right? We want that correction. And if you look at it, David didn't do this, and because of this, this guy named Adonijah was really, he was really kind of a hot mess. In fact, he did this and he was extended grace. He tried to wedge his way into the throne. They found out about this, and then David goes to Solomon on one of his other sons, which is a whole other thing. He actually played favorites with his kids. But David actually placed Solomon in the throne and said, extend grace to Adonijah, let him live. So at this instance, he did. He let him live. So Adonijah experienced grace again. He should have actually been put to death, but he didn't. But then it really didn't change who Adonijah was. Adonijah continued scheming. He continued to be a deceiver and continued to do this so much so that he tried to remove Solomon from the throne later in life, which eventually led to his death. And it goes back to the fact that David didn't play a part in his life. In fact, David didn't play a part in some of his other sons' lives as well. There's another guy named Amnon. Now, Amnon was another son that David basically neglected, and Amnon was actually known for just how terrible a person he was. Right? That was his reputation. In fact, Amnon actually was a rapist. He raped his half-sister Tamar. Right? Talk about some crazy messed up stuff within a family. And David still didn't even address it. David didn't even punish his son for this. So what happened is he had another son whose rage continued to stir up named Absalom, who ended up murdering his brother Abner. Like, think about this, right? This is crazy. This is the life of David. This is David's family life. And it includes murder, deceit, lying, and rape. So we start this series off really just to make you feel a little bit better about where your families are, right? So hopefully that's just something. But this is the family of David. Like, this is not what you call a perfect family. This is not a parenting win. These sons were not the pride and joy of David, right? These were not poster children for a strong, resilient family. What it was dysfunction at its finest, right? David's family was pretty jacked up, and it all stems from his parents. It all stems from his lack of focus on his family, from the lack of the way he dealt with the family matters that came. Right, it stems from them experiencing a lack of discipline and even a lack of affection in their life. And here's what I really want us to understand today. Here's what I want us to walk away. The strength of family relationships is tied to the strength of affection combined with discipline. The strength of our family relationships is tied to the strength of our affection and our discipline. Since love and discipline can make or break a family. Love and discipline can make or break our relationship. As we think about this, I think we all can pretty much agree that love and affection is a shared goal of families, right? Love and affection is a shared goal of marriages as well. Listen, as we go into summer, we see it's really wedding season. You've probably been invited to a wedding already. You're thinking like, okay, good. We're going to go stand out in the hot sun while people are sharing their love, because you know what the wedding's about. It's about love and affection. Chances are you might already have actually seen a wedding this year. I don't know if you guys did, but this wedding. It was kind of a big deal. A lot of people were talking about it. Anybody watch a wedding yet this year? The royal wedding? All right. Some ladies did. I'm going to just throw my man card to the side right here. And I'm going to say, listen, I saw parts of this royal wedding. And listen, it was pretty incredible. Like, there's some good things. And I did just watch parts of it. I'm going to be honest. Like, let's keep a little bit of my man card there. But I watched parts of it, right? And I watched the part where Bishop Michael Curry preached. And let me tell you, like, he preached, right? He preached. Incredible. But what he preached on was love. He preached about how marriages, he preached about how families need love. And more specifically, he preached about the love of Christ. He shared the gospel and talked about how the love of Christ is a redemptive love. And that's the love that we need in our family. And as I was listening, I'm like, yeah, that's so true, right? We can have that agreement. We need the redemptive love of Christ in our families, because the truth is, in our families, we're going to mess up. There's going to be some struggles. There's going to be some issues that we need some redemptive love. 1 Peter 4:8 says this. It says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. In our family lives, we need love. We need love and affection. We need warmth and support. These are critical to our family life because it overcomes our faults. It overcomes and it covers our sins. And in our families, there's going to be some flaws. In our families, there's going to be some sins. And we need to have love and affection in our family relationship. But we also need something else. We need a second ingredient called discipline. And again, it goes back to this passage in 1 Kings 1:6. It says, his father had never rebuked him by asking, why do you behave as you do? If you look at another word for rebuke, is actually correction. David never took the time to correct his son. He never took the time to discipline. He never took the time to show him personal discipline as well. So let me just define this. Let me define discipline for you today. The true discipline is this. It's living in bounds in an out-of-bounds world. And to live in bounds in an out-of-bounds world, we need somebody to help us. We need somebody to show us that route. We need somebody to pave the way and to correct us when we go off. Discipline is caring. Discipline is helping. It's correcting. Discipline is development and preparation, right? What it is guidance. It's building somebody else up, right? It's building somebody else up, not tearing them down. Proverbs 10:17 says, whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. So when we show discipline, what we're doing is we're leading others to the way of life. But when we're ignoring it, when we ignore correction, we're leading others astray. So what discipline is, it's really a continuation of love. And I know for me, I know some of my greatest life lessons that I've ever learned have been through discipline, right? Been through correction, through those that are in authority in my life that were willing and caring enough to say, you know what, you did this wrong. This is how we need to fix this. I want to guide you in that correct path, right? I know my parents did this for me. Growing up, I can look back and I know that there's many times where they showed me discipline. I know for me as a parent, listen, the verdict is still out. So I'm going to say even everything I'm saying today, huge disclaimer on all this, we're still learning as we go, right? Parenting is tough. And the verdict is still out if we're disciplining our kids correctly. But our goal is to tie our relationships with our kids to our strength, to our discipline and our affection. So in your relationships, are you showing love and affection? And is there discipline? Healthy family relationships are built on the right balance of affection and discipline. And to show this, I've got a little bit of a visual illustration to put this into a little perspective, which is actually from a focus on a family. And I challenge you, if you've got some struggles going on, Focus on the Family is a great resource to jump into and to look at and to take with you so that you can really apply these to your life. But what this is, it shows the correlation between affection and discipline. So we'll start off here in the bottom left quadrant. It's low affection and low discipline. And really what this is no rules with no relationship. And what this ends up in rejection. This ends up in regret. And the truth be told, it ends up in rejection and regret between both parties, right? If this is regarding a spouse or a kid, there's rejection and regret on both parties because there's no responsibility and there's also no connection. There's no relationship. You look at this is where a lot of David's kids, this is where a lot of his sons landed, right? Adonijah really ended up the way he did because there was no affection, because there was no discipline. Right, his lack of rules, his lack of relationship led him to really not being a good person, to being deceitful, right? And eventually led to his death. That's the first quadrant. The next quadrant is the bottom right quadrant, which is low affection and high discipline. What this is rules without relationship. And what this ends up in rebellion. Rules without relationship ends in rebellion. Right? Rules are the high sense of responsibility. There's these high expectations. But without any relationship, without any connection, these rules, these responsibilities, these high expectations are really empty. And they lead to rebellion. Some of you guys look back and think, oh, yeah, that just explains my high school life, right? But I think we look at this, and this is what it leads to. It leads to rebellion. The next quadrant is the top left quadrant, which is high affection, low discipline. This is relationship without rules. Relationship without rules. Now this one I think kind of seems a little tricky because I think a lot of times what we want to show so much love, we want to show so much affection, but if it's missing discipline, what really happens is instead of being friends, instead of having that close connection, that connection kind of breaks and it actually leads to resentment. Because listen, as children, we need more from our parents than just being friends. As parents, we need to be more than just friends to our kids. We need to lead them in the right way. And far too often, what we really set out to achieve when we give high affection and low discipline ends up having the opposite effect. And it leads to resentment. And then the last quadrant is the high affection, high discipline. Right? This is really the sweet spot. And what this is limits with love. This is rules with relationship. And this leads to success. Right? This is discipline done with love. This is relationship done with boundaries. And understand this. The intensity of our love should match the intensity of our discipline. And vice versa. The intensity of our discipline should match the intensity of our love. The truth is, when they're out of sync, when those two things are out of sync, our relationships are out of sync as well. I love this quote by Howard Hendricks. It says this. It says, if you don't play with your children, you don't have the right to discipline your children. High affection and high discipline. As you look at those quadrants, think about it. Go through that. Which quadrant, you look at it, you can probably start putting yourself in one of those categories. Which quadrant did you grow up with? Now, if you're a person with grown children, go through it. Which one did you naturally parent? And if you're a parent with kids right now, you're probably thinking, man, you know what? I'm definitely not in the sweet spot right now. But you can look at it, man, which one do you kind of tend to go through? I would say this, if you're a future parent, start thinking about this. Like, start looking at your personality. Where would you typically fall? And if the answer wasn't where you wanted it to be, what could you do to change to make that happen? The strength of our family relationships is tied to the strength of affection combined with discipline. For most of us, if we're honest, we look at that, and that's probably a hard diagram to look at. Right? Thinking, I'm like, yeah, I didn't fall in the right category. Right? That's a tough one. And really, we look at it, if we're really honest, you can just be honest and say, you know what? That's oversimplifying a really complex thing, part of life. Right? Because that oversimplifies this really complex part of life called family. Family relationships are complex. Family relationships can be tough. And the truth is, it's almost hard to figure out where we even fall because it's hard to be objective about it, right? It's hard to sometimes even know where we fell because where we grew up in, because that's all we've ever known. It's hard to know if we even remain in that sweet spot because it's hard to remain there anyways, and it's hard for us to realize. Listen, there's times where we feel like we're probably crushing it, but we're completely missing the mark. You've seen parents that are like, man, they brag about how great their kids are. They brag about how great they are. And then once their kids are removed from them, their kids are complete messes, right? Like, they've been there before. It's hard to be objective because we're so close to it. Listen, there's times where I feel like, man, we're doing great. And I'm thinking like, oh yeah, Sarah and I, we're killing it. Our kids are great. And then I go pick up the kids from preschool. I pick up them and they're like, yeah, we need to talk about your son. He said a bad word today. You're like, what? How did he even hear that? Come on now. Right? Oh, he was in timeout again. This is our true stories. He spit in a kid's face. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's go, Griff. We'll talk about that. And I thought I was doing good. I'm like, oh, come on. Right? There's times where it's just hard to be objective. On the other side, too, there's times where we probably feel like we're completely failing at it. We feel like we're completely missing. But the truth is, we're doing better than what we do. The truth is, we're doing a little bit more. We're doing a little bit better. See, the thing is, our relationships, each day, our relationships are not the same. And the truth is, each relationship is not the same. So there's times we miss the mark. There's times where we're not showing affection the right way. There's a book called The Five Love Languages. It's an incredible book. I challenge you to go through it. But I think through this with my wife sometimes. For me, listen, my love language is always words of affirmation, like strong words of affirmation the whole time. So what I do for my wife is I will shower her with words of affirmation. I will tell her how great she is. I'll tell her how amazing she is. And that is like the lowest on her. So it means absolutely nothing to her. Now hers is gifts. She wants me to buy gifts for her. She wants me to get all these things. Now I'm pretty cheap, if you know me. So gifts is a really hard one for me. So what she does, oftentimes, she'll give me gifts. She's like, hey, I got you this thing. I got you this shirt. Got you all this stuff. I'm like looking at it. I'm like, okay, this is stressing me out. Where did you get the money to do that? Like, come on, what are you thinking? Is this part of the budget? No, it's not. Like, I don't feel loved by this because you're giving me these things. I feel stressed out, right? And there's sometimes we just miss. And the truth in our relationships, there's times we just miss. There's times where we're not showing affection either because we're too busy or we just don't know how to show it the right way. And the truth is we do the same thing. We do the same thing with discipline as well. There's times we just miss with our discipline. There's times we don't take the time to do it because it's But the truth is, it's also incredibly weak. You think about it. Think about what your life would look like if you really fell into that sweet spot, that high affection and that high discipline gap. Right? That's the child sweet spot. That's that area where the kid knows that, man, they are loved, but they're also taken care of. They're loved, but they're also being guided the right way, where they're completely trusting their parent to point them the right direction. When I look at this, I actually think my parents did a pretty decent job, because I think what they did is they actually paid attention. They had a lot. I remember looking back, and there was a lot of affection, but there was a lot of discipline, as well. Right? And I look back, I mean, they definitely showed affection, because I remember them coming to like my t-ball games. And listen, if you have a kid that's in t-ball and you show up to their games, that is high affection right there. That's a high amount of love to suffer through that. And I remember my parents came to all my games. They'd always give me a hug, whether I had a good game or bad game. A lot of times it was a bad game, but they'd still give me a hug. They would tell me how proud they were. So I remember that. I also remember a lot of discipline. And their discipline was very specific towards me. So what they did is they liked to discipline in the form of lectures. Now, if you know me, I have a little bit of ADD. There's a reason why our sermon's about 30, 33 minutes long, because that's where my attention span drops off, right? That's really the reason. So what my parents did is their form of discipline was to lecture me for a long extended period of time. And let me just say, it worked, and I remember those. But remember, imagine if you would have grown up in a place where you felt high discipline and high. Imagine your kids growing up in a household where they feel high discipline and high. Imagine with your spouse, if you're really operating in that sweet spot where you're showing them how much you love and how much you care and how much you want to direct them to the good. Right? Those family matters would become a little less tense. But the truth is, we have to be intentional about it. We have to be intentional about it. And here's how we can do this. Here's how we can do our best to give high amounts of affection and high amounts of love and discipline all at the same time. As parents, as family members, as spouses, we lay down the law. Okay, really, the only reason I wrote law there is because it's easy to remember. But really, here's what Ella starts with. What we have to do is we have to listen. Understand this. Affection and discipline both start with listening. Right? Affection and discipline, they both start with listening. Listening displays our love for others. Listening displays how much we care for others. It goes back to the old phrase, right? They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that all goes back to listening. And listening also helps you correct what needs to be corrected. Listening helps you learn how to discipline in the way that the discipline should actually be administered and be done. Right? My parents knew me. They listened to me enough to realize that, you know what? A 40-minute lecture was far worse than a 2-week grounding. Right? They knew me. They listened to me. They listened to my personality. Understood about that. Right? And it all went back to listening. Andy Stanley has a great quote regarding discipline and raising your children. He says this. It says, discipline your children with the intent to preserve your relationship rather than your reputation. I think a lot of times what we do as parents, we discipline because we want our family to look good. We want ourselves to look good. We want people to look at us and be like, man, you know what? Their kids are great. They're a great parent. But we need to slow down. We need to listen. We need to discipline in a way that preserves the relationship, not just our reputation. And it starts by listening to their struggles, listening to their dreams, listening to their needs, listening to their wants. Think through this. Are there some family matters that are still going on right now in your life because you just haven't taken the time to listen? Is there something that your spouse has been trying to tell you over and over and over again, but you've never listened? Is there something your kids have been trying to tell you? Is there something your parents, if you're your kid, is there something your parents have been trying to get across, but you've never listened? And think about, how can you listen more this week? Maybe for you, maybe you need to slow down a bit. Maybe you need to slow down at work. And if you look at the life of David, what was he doing? He was building this kingdom up, but he was neglecting his family. I think a lot of times in work, what we're doing is we're building our work up, we're building our own career up, but maybe we're putting our family in the wayside. Maybe that's the price we're paying. Listen, I want to challenge you, don't do that. Slow down enough to listen to your kids. Make time. Set apart time with your family. Maybe you even need to think through some questions that you need to ask them specifically. Whatever it is, do it. Set yourself up to listen. This is so big with kids. Author Catherine M. Wallace says this. She says, listen earnestly to anything your children want to tell you, no matter what. If you don't listen eagerly to the little stuff when they're little, They won't tell you the big stuff when they're big, because to them, all of it has always been big stuff. I want to challenge you to listen. And then the next thing is to act. Do something about what you just heard. Right? Do something about it. Act. Parenting, marriages, relationships, family relationships, they're always hard because they're always under pressure. So to provide consistent love, to provide consistent discipline is tough. It can be difficult. It can be exhausting. And the truth is, we've all been guilty of just of giving in to our kids, right? We've all been guilty of almost giving up and giving in to our kids and letting some bad behavior slide because it was simpler than setting those boundaries, right? We've been guilty of letting some bad behavior slide because it was easier than actually enforcing the consequences. We've been guilty of those, right? We've been guilty even in our marriages, I bet. We've been guilty of letting some things go in our relationships because we just weren't willing to fight that battle. We weren't willing to pick that fight and to address it. So we go ahead and we just let it slide and we brush it under the rug. I want to challenge you. Be willing to act. Be willing to respond. Truth is, there's no single right way to be a parent. There's no single right way to be a spouse. But we have to be willing to act. And listen, if you're single today, this one applies to you as well. You actually have to be willing to act. Maybe you've been praying for the right spouse. Maybe you've been praying for the right person for years and years and years. And that's good. Just start there. Just start with prayer. But you know what? Eventually, it's going to come to the point where you actually have to act. First service, I talked to you. You may actually have to give your phone number out. But I guess that probably doesn't even happen these days. You may have to be willing to Facebook somebody or Snapchat or however that works, right? But you have to be willing to do something. You have to be willing to act. Do something about it. Act on others' behalf. I want to challenge you, don't ignore the opportunities to show love. Don't ignore the opportunities to show correction. Because they might not always be there. Be willing to act. Do your best and do it consistently. And then the last one is the W. It's wait. Wait for them to respond. Wait for the other one to respond. Wait for your spouse to respond. Wait for your child to respond. Wait for your family to respond. Wait for that action to sink in with your children. Right? Don't keep pushing. Once the point's across, once you've said it, once you've acted upon it, don't keep pushing, but step back and wait. Listen, in our families, in our marriages, in our family relationships, there's a lot of times where we play the waiting game. There's a lot of times where we have to sit back and let God be God. Because affection involves patience. Love involves patience. There's a reason it says love is patient, right? Because it involves that. It's a part of it. It's a part of what it is. It involves patience, and we have to wait. And discipline is the same way. In fact, there's a delay in the reward of discipline. In Hebrews 12, 10 through 11, it says, they disciplined us for a while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained. Discipline does not produce immediate results. And oftentimes love does not produce immediate results. We have to be patient. We have to be willing to wait. We have to be in it for the long haul. Think about it in your life right now. Is there something in your life that you need to wait for within your life? And even harder, are you okay with waiting? Listen, there's some things that we may have instilled in our kids that we're waiting for them. We're waiting for them to really register. There's some of us, and we may have grown kids. Maybe they're not serving the Lord right now, and it's breaking our heart. Let me just encourage you. God's timing is better than yours. And if you push and push and push, what you're going to end up doing is pushing more. I said this. I've kind of learned this as we've gone through, but I think what happens is if we instill our own issues and we instill our own values on somebody to make them change and come on our values, what that is, that's a temporary change. But if we pray and we let God put those values in their life, if we got God make an actual transformation in their life, it's a permanent change. So I want to challenge you, don't push, but wait. The strength of family relationships is tied to the strength of our affection combined with discipline. And the truth is, when you hear that, for many of us, we look at our relationships, whether it's our spouses, with our parents, with our siblings, with our kids, for many times, we probably haven't really stayed in that sweet spot. There's probably many times we've gotten a little bit messed up. Let me just tell you this. You are not alone. You look at David, who's known as a man after God's own heart. But his family consisted of rape, murder, and deceit. His family consisted of times in his life where he wasn't in that sweet spot, he was messed up. In fact, from Adam and Eve all the way on, family lives have struggled. Families have struggled to be perfect because there's only one perfect parent, and that's our Heavenly Father. And the truth is, our imperfections, our mistakes, should lead to His perfection. Through our families, we should be reminded of His perfection. And I think somebody needs to hear this today in your family life. I think instead of measuring your failures, I think you need to start measuring God's grace. In fact, in your life, stop measuring your failures and start measuring His grace. And let His grace come from your life and point others to His love. Really, the goal in our families should be pointing each other towards Him, to focus in on Him and to imitate Him. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." I want to challenge you and your family to walk in the way of love. Love each other. Give of yourselves, because family matters. You would pull out the response card in the seat back in front of you. Maybe here today. And maybe as you hear this, maybe you've been counting your failures. Maybe you've been counting and measuring your failures, and you're here today, and because of those failures, because of that, you've really stayed away from God. Listen, I want to challenge you. I want you to challenge you to experience His grace. Measure His grace, which comes only through Jesus Christ. And it comes only through committing to Him and making Him your personal Lord. If you're here today and you've never made that decision, you've never made that commitment, I want to give you that opportunity. On that response card, what you can do is the first box there says, "I want to make a commitment to follow Jesus." If that's you, you're here today and you want to do that, checkmark that box. Checkmark that box and then believe that God gave His Son. Believe that Jesus died on the cross and was risen again so that you can have a relationship with Him, so that you could experience His grace. Checkmark that box. Believe that and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe here today, maybe God's speaking to you. Maybe God's speaking to you in an area where you need to show affection better. Maybe for you, maybe you've been hard, maybe you've been calloused a little bit, and you've kind of just, you don't show love to your family. You don't show love to your spouse. You don't show love to your kids. Oops. I want to challenge you to overcome that. I challenge you to let God help you overcome that through His love, through His love alone. If God's speaking to that area, I want you to write that down and to live that out. Maybe for you, maybe brush things under the rug. You weren't willing to correct things just because it's easier not to. Be willing to discipline. Be willing to discipline your love. Whatever God's really challenging you with right now, I would challenge you to write that down so that we can partner with you, so that we can be praying with you, so that you can live it out. And the last one is a prayer request, where we love to partner with you in prayer specifically. If you would, take this moment. If you're a first-time guest, we ask that you fill out the whole entire front side with all your information and then whatever you would like to pray about. If you've been here before, you could just put your first name on there, but we would love to partner with you in prayer. We take these seriously. So as they begin to sing, use this time to fill that out.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.